With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Bang, bang into the room. Bang, bang all over you, listeners. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus. Jim's here.
Hello.
Luke's here.
All right.
And Pete's here.
Where the hell was that from, Marcus?
Jesse J. Ariana Grande and Nicki Minaj.
Grande.
Yeah.
I like to think that you sort of spend your Sundays taping the top 40 off of Radio 1, just getting these little things. I don't know. I would
cutting
imagine
it before the guy speaks
that you would do that. Yeah.
Bring back Top of the Pops.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, then. Can I begin?
You can.
Thank you. Sorry about that, listeners. A little pop conversation there. Arsene Wenger and Jose Mourinho shared some argy-bargy at Stamford Bridge. I'm sure you're aware. Luke and I were talking when it was just the two of us. I think it was on that show. You were talking about Nigel Pearson's got to be mentioned when we talk about when we reconvene with the hardest manager in the league kind of chat. We did this a number of years ago. There's new managers. There's new teams.
New moves and checkers and punches.
Exactly.
I feel like this is a conversation that should be had on a season-by-season basis.
Absolutely.
Because managers change over all the time.
Well, here we are.
And they age, don't they?
Here we are, Jim.
We need to update the managerial muscle metrics.
Who is currently the hardest manager in the Premier League, Jim?
I think Pearson's a great shout, but I think since... You know, I think we agreed on Moyes last time because he just had that terrifying like fire in his eyes.
No longer eligible.
No longer eligible.
I remember
exactly.
Phil Brown being shouted about.
Yeah.
That's how long ago maybe it was.
I think Louis van Gaal is probably a shout, but he is fairly old. You know, I reckon it's Allardyce's time. I reckon he's an old bruiser.
He made my shortlist, so I'm on the same page.
He's been around. I wouldn't say he's the hardest manager in the Premier League by a long way, but I reckon Steve Bruce could take a surprising amount of punishment.
Yeah, I agree.
That face, it'd just be like punching a sack of dough. Like there can't be any working nerve endings still in that face.
Like the episode of The Simpsons where Homer Simpson becomes like a heavyweight champ.
Absolutely, yeah.
Would punching Bruce be like trying to walk up a sand dune?
Very much so, yeah.
It would, yeah.
Well, do you know what? Those two are not on my shortlist.
Oh, really?
Allardyce or Bruce.
That's the depth of quality.
There you go.
In this particular...
You've got loads.
Yeah.
Two Englishmen you've gone with. Yeah. Are you going Allardyce?
I'm going Allardyce. That's my official answer, yeah.
Okay.
Does it mean it?
It is you.
Yeah, I mean, my notes, just to back up Jim's point, is that I've got here that Big Sam has undoubtedly been around the block a few times.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's clearly got a bit of a pedigree there. I think Van Gaal, again, he's got a bit of the Godfather about him. I think he would probably get other people to do his business. I don't think he would get involved.
But you can't. I just can't imagine Van Gaal losing.
No, but I can't imagine
another man stood over him going, that'll teach.
No, but I mean, imagine...
Nigel Pearson, again, might have something to say about that.
I can imagine there being a disagreement, and Lou Van Gaal's very much the type who would say, look, to someone else, I don't want to see or hear from him again. He wouldn't get involved.
But every now and then he would pick up the gun.
Well, roll his sleeves up very slowly.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But only to show everyone else how it's done.
And then finish with a riotous teabagging.
Is there any other kind of teabagging?
No.
Not on my watch, there isn't.
But, I mean, if you're talking about getting other people to do the job, then Paul Lambert has to be thrown in there.
Correct, yeah.
With Big Keno by his side.
My final answer is Nigel Pearson. It has to be. I mean,
yep.
Nigel Pearson, for me, is the guy on the door of a provincial nightclub,
yes,
who has the earpiece in, the untouched flat top, polo shirt very much tucked in, bomber jacket.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he just doesn't say anything to anyone,
no,
but occasionally just dishes out the most unbelievably savage beating. and then maybe just sort of stretches his neck. Yeah. You know when hard people click their neck?
Yeah.
Does that, yeah, and just gets all
of it. I don't think there'd be any flicker of emotion on his face during
dead
the whole
eyes, shark's eyes.
It'd just be work. Job.
I agreed with the provincial nightclub thing, but I think I could see him at a fancy one in the centre of a big city like London or Manchester. Or Birmingham.
Yeah. Would work his way up through the leagues, I would imagine, as he has done in his current job.
There you are, you see. Quite poetic.
Arguing with a really money Latvian or something.
Yeah.
Spread him out over a top of a Ferrari.
Probably done a bit of work for some sort of crime, Latvian crime bosses.
Okay, right, yeah.
In the interim, when the club season wasn't going. I'll tell you what he did. He did a season out in the Balearics, right, on the doors there. And when they shut down for the winter,
he learned a lot
Latvia,
there. Comes back, yeah.
Yeah, and then now he's in London.
He learned a lot there.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
He asked no questions, though, so if the police ever come knocking, genuinely
doesn't
know.
I mean, when he was out there, conspicuous by the fact he still wore leather gloves, though, just to cover up those naughty.
Little known fact about Nigel Pearson, he was actually an extra in the film Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze.
Yeah. Pete, who are you going for?
Well, I kind of came to the table with Steve Bruce, to be honest. I think for the first time in a long time,
really?
We've both come with the same. I just think that all that flab, he's been so overweight for so long, the flab has started to necrotize and get hard. And it's
calcified.
A little bit like an armadillo shell.
But just because, therefore, he's got a protective layer. I mean, it depends what you're talking about hardest, because...
Look at that nose. He's taking some battery.
Yeah, but if you're saying
it's barely even a nose now.
If you're saying it has to...
It's just a fleshy tube.
It's absorbing.
His skin has to begin to concrete up, as it were.
Yeah.
Then I suppose, technically, he's the hardest manager.
Like if we're talking about, viscosity. Yeah.
But I wouldn't rate... In the same way, I wouldn't rate an army on how good the body armour is.
No. But
I don't think Bruce has got much aggression and much attack.
Just chuck a bit more support into Steve Bruce camp. I imagine Steve Bruce has got a very strong grip as well.
Yeah,
his grip would be very strong.
Well, I just don't think he has the aggression to back it up.
Who's yours?
Which is very...
No, he'd hit you,
in the face, I'm sure that aggression will come out.
He'd be crying when he did it.
Certainly wouldn't you.
If he one of those, I only do it because I love you kind of guys.
Yeah.
Well, I had a few of those names. I put Wenger ? But then I thought, no. But I think he's harder than what many people think.
I think he's tougher than Mourinho.
Recently, easily, yeah. So I've got... I suppose my two would be Sean Dyche and Mark Hughes.
Oh, Dyche is a great shout. Yeah. Hughes came up last time.
Yeah, why are you shaking your head, Luke?
Because I'll tell you why. I don't buy it with Dyche.
No?
I don't buy it.
Well, Pete and Jim certainly
That's fine. I've seen things. And I don't
what
think Dyche
seen?
Has got it.
What have you seen?
Untold
him trying
violent.
To get into a nightclub with Nigel Pearson telling him he can't come in. Yeah. You've seen that, fair enough.
Mark Hughes, definitely.
Yeah, I'd probably go Hughes. I think probably Hughes and Pearson, I would say. But I'm surprised you dismissed that.
The goatee undermines him.
Right,
the goatee reminds me of Max and Paddy from Phoenix Knights, Peter Kay's character.
But still, though, Pete, you're thinking Dyche as well, maybe?
I think he's stocky enough. I think he could take a couple.
Fair enough. Fine, but are you honestly telling me Sean Dyche should give Nigel Pearson a run for his money?
Well, Jim, you said Dyche there.
Yeah, well, I just think he does look quite hard. I think his voice throws me because, look, I appreciate this is quite an abstract thing, but his voice reminds me of what it would sound like if basically a ball bag that had been at the beach all day and was covered in sand was like. That's sort of what his voice is like to me.
A man's ball bag.
Does that make
a sandy ball bag. I think if a Sandy Ballback had a voice,
right,
it would be Sean Dyche's voice. Is what I'm saying. Well, like, I appreciate this has got nothing to do with the question, but I just thought I had to share it.
Does that make him hard or not?
I don't know.
Okay. It's a nice input.
A sandy ball bag that can talk.
Oh, he's not beating Pearson in a ruck.
No, no way. So this is it. The voice is weird, isn't it? The voice, if anything, actually, for this reason, is what makes you think maybe, yeah, maybe he's not all he's cracked up to be. Because it's not a hard voice, is it? It's a strange voice.
Yeah, I sort of know what you mean, yeah. The beard undermines him as well, the goatee beard, yeah.
If anything, that adds to the sandy effect.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to get in touch, then... Well, yeah, okay, fair enough. So I'll go Hughes then.
He's making up the top three Hughes.
We can't... But are you... So you're saying Allardyce, Pearson...
Not just the win, but the actual performance.
Yeah.
Please, there were so many...
I can understand what you mean. Yeah. Voice like a sandy ball bag.
Get that ball bag off the beat.
I speak to him about the fact is, you know, to have that freedom to play us in a
match. Oh, yeah, I'll go with that. I
mean, listeners, I'm, just so you know, that is not the mystery voice competition. Well, actually, that comes later.
Is the mouth at the bottom of the testicles or just in the cradle between the testicles inside the scrotum?
I think everyone would picture that differently.
I see the face and the mouth above the actual testes and the top of the bag.
Yeah, just sit on the top.
The meat of the balls would probably create the chin.
You would have to lift up the penis to allow Sean to breathe and talk.
Yeah, and I mean, he's been at the beach all day. He's covered in sand, and he's not happy.
Would he have been covered in like suntan lotion as well? So it would just make him more sticky.
Do you tan lotion your balls? I don't.
Yes, not. If they're wafting about the place,
this is taking a turn.
I've got a draw. I'll go with Pearson. So it's Pearson.
So let's just quickly run through the other managers to make sure we haven't missed anyone obvious. So we talked about Van Gaal. Mourinho's not a concern, really. No. Pellegrini's a bit too old and frail.
Yep.
Wenger is probably wiry and tougher than Mourinho in that particular duel, but he's not really pushing the upper
record. Pochettino's not that hard. He's all right. He's
Gary Monk, I'm not having that.
You know, Pardew might be a bit handy, just because he's so beleaguered at the moment.
He's a broken man, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a bit Liam Neeson in Taken. He's lost everything.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what? After the king, you can do anything.
Mm. Yeah, well, as he once said. Yeah. As he once said, taking someone else's dinner. I've noticed this. So if you look at the sort of classic hard man manager, a hard man manager has never won the Premier League. The same can't be said of La Liga, of course.
No.
But if you look at it, Sir Alex Ferguson, Arsene Wenger, Jose Mourinho, Kenny Dalglish, Manuel Pellegrini, Carlo Ancelotti, I don't think I've missed anybody
there.
Kenny Dalglish hasn't won the Premier League.
No.
That's crazy talk.
Under Blackburn.
For Blackburn. Sorry, I was thinking of Liverpool. Forgive me.
Sorry, you doubted myself. Yeah.
I went with Luke then.
Yeah.
So they're the managers.
I forgot he managed Blackburn.
Yeah,
there was definitely a period of time when Kenny Dalglish was a tough fella. No question about that.
Yeah, I wouldn't put him...
He's the hardest out of that list.
Of that group, yes, but I don't think he'd win this league.
So I'm saying we need a hard man manager to win the Premier League,
or do we?
I think the only way these points can really be dished out is if we somehow arrange these fights to happen.
I think Pearson's a winner. I think we're going to go with Luke, and that means he's got a slight majority.
Well,
I do support the motion that this has to be an annual, if not weekly, thing.
Weekly. Every time someone's fired, new person comes in, the new guy comes in and gets put in the list at some point.
Well, let's try and remember to do that.
Yeah.
I hope Kenny Dalglish doesn't write me a letter saying I have won the Premier League.
And I am hard.
Harder than me.
No, he's definitely won.
Of course he has.
Talking of Premier League, let's go there. Chelsea beat Arsenal 2-0. Similar story to what we've seen before, was it, Jim?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, both in terms of Chelsea in recent years and Mourinho's Chelsea in recent years. Like, he's got a number, isn't he?
Would you consider yourself delighted with Wenger's record against Mourinho?
No, the opposite of that, very much the opposite of
and,
it.
And now he's got a former Arsenal great getting in on the act as well.
In the strings, it's heartbreaking. And like, I think a lot of people forgot how good Cesc Fabregas is. Like, I know
7 assists already this season.
I know, it's crazy. I think that might be more than any Chelsea player had last season.
I believe
at
so.
All.
And individually,
Costa have just got an incredible,
great understanding, haven't they? Yeah. That second goal particularly showed that up as. I don't know if you disagree with this, Jim, but I think the more depressing side of that game for Arsenal fans was potentially that Chelsea looked like they might have an extra gear or two to go up.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think they played in a very, very intelligent way. Obviously, it was a bit of a tasty game, very, very scrappy, but through all that, they almost played like a very dominant and intelligent
controlled kind of a wayside. You know, they really did just let Arsenal come at them and just picked us off really, really easily. It was, I think, you know, there's a lot of talk about maybe Koscielny should have been sent off. I think Callum Chambers was incredibly lucky to avoid a second yellow card as well. And I also think Gary Cahill could and probably should have gone, so it was quite
a meeting Welbeck.
Like that.
There's
yeah,
a few,
Welbeck
wasn't there?
As well. But like
Koscielny?
Yeah.
Well, it's Jim, sorry.
I already mentioned Koscielny.
Oh, sorry, yeah, okay, yeah.
Like, I think for me, what that game really illustrates is the sort of difference in the kind of star mentality at Chelsea and Arsenal. Arsenal are quite new to having these players like Ozil and Sanchez, where the expectation level kind of goes up a little bit. And Chelsea are a great example. Eden Hazard in particular. He's an absolute superstar. Yeah. He's a massive, massive player. But you never get that sense of him.
It normalises everything, doesn't it?
Absolutely,
if you've got a team where it's just through and through absolute megastars.
Yeah, well, because Mourinho is the ultimate megastar.
Well, absolutely, yeah. So he's certainly created that environment. There's just no pressure on those players, whereas with Arsenal, the bigger players, the pressure seems to be on them a lot more if it's not quite clicking.
Yeah. He's got such a blind spot for Mourinho's teams, though. I just don't understand why every single time he sort of meets one, he really just falls to pieces, I think, or something.
That's probably why he sort of undermined Hazard a bit towards the end of last season, to try and make it clear that he was the big dog. I thought that Ozil was really poor against Chelsea. I think. Yeah. I don't want to be that guy who jumps on the bandwagon and says, you know, Ozil this, Ozil that. He's sort of player who's very... easy to get on the back of because of his style and the way he looks, and he does seem to be quite down on himself a lot of the time. Of course, he's an amazing player and he's achieved great things.
He's been superb in the two games before this.
Yeah.
I think it's annoying when he gets put out wide.
It's a strange one.
Yeah, I don't really see
the point. It's very frustrating. I mean, it's been a common thread of Wenger's tenure that he does that. He buys his central players and will shunt them mostly out left, as he'll start on the right at the weekend. But it seems such a waste of a player that good. He played through the middle against Villa and he was superb. He scored one, set one up, and was just much more effective and much better. So
I agree.
Obviously there's something I'm not seeing, or that we're all not seeing, that Wenger's planning to do. But
Ozil has played out wide for Germany, although it is a different team and a different system, I grant you. Chelsea certainly get the best out of Oscar, don't they?
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, he was brilliant. I mean, they were highlighted on Match of the Day, or Match of the Day 2, rather. He was getting stuck in, chasing down opposition, putting in tackles and all that kind of stuff. He was just all action. And I thought, it sort of made me think, well, does Mourinho make players better? You know, like, there's one of the reasons why he shipped off Mata, because he wasn't a Mourinho-type player. Mm. So you get someone like Oscar, who's got all the talent, but does he have the work rate and so on? And like you said about Hazard, and another example. So does he make players better? Or can he fall into making them less attractive to watch, perhaps? Because Oscar is a very, very graceful player, like an Ozil. But Ozil could never play for Mourinho because he wouldn't do all those kind of things.
Aren't all the best teams in the world, best club sides, certainly over the last few years, I'd say since we've been doing this show, all the best teams in the world tend to be very, very hard-working teams as well, though.
Yes.
The teams who achieve the most, you can't really put out a weak link in terms of, you look at someone like Zlatan, for example, he would be held up as like one of the world's best players who maybe doesn't put that sort of shift in.
Yeah.
He's never won the Champions League. You know, so you look at a team like Barcelona, that great Barcelona side, they work so hard.
Yeah.
Look at a team like Bayern Munich, they work really hard. A Mourinho Chelsea side tends to work very hard as well.
Oh, that's a good point.
I think that's Mourinho's. That's his remit, isn't it? He makes a team, and he's completely unemotional about whether that makes that player less attractive to watch.
He doesn't care, does he?
He sort of reduces players down to their constituent parts, and then if you can't do a job at that position, you're out. You know, that's why Frank Lampard left. You know, that's why a couple of other players left.
Unsentimental, basically. Yeah,
I think you're absolutely right there, Pete. But then, like I said, for the neutral and making the point the other week on the podcast, it's nice to see Frank Lampard be freed up again. In a set, I know it's not as black and white as that. Obviously, he's brought on in the second half of games and has played in against perhaps weaker opposition, not including Chelsea, of course, where he scored. But you're right, you can't deny that Mourinho,
I think this Mourinho team's better to watch than his last incarnation of Chelsea.
Well, I think he knew that, didn't he? Because
he had to do that.
One of the things that the owner, Abramovich, was annoyed, he wanted to win with style. Which was quite ironic when they won the Champions League, of course. It was defensive.
Would you include, when Mourinho managed Chelsea the first time, what you're trying to say with these players, would you include Joe Cole in that?
Well, I think sometimes Mourinho's first time round at Chelsea, in his first season, when he won the league, didn't he, in the first season? You know, they played often with the 4-3-3 with Robin and Joe Cole was in there, and Duff was there as well. Did he win his first season? I can't remember, but it was certainly early on he won it. I actually thought that team...
They won it in 2005, did they not?
Yeah, I thought actually they weren't. But they weren't the most attractive side to watch, but I think sometimes people may be a little bit harsh on that side and just say Mourinho is just very much function. Yeah. So
I wondered if Chelsea, because in your running order, Marcus, you said Arsenal had a shot on target, their first shot on target in injury time. I don't remember having a shot on target at all.
Well, I think it was Podolski, close
was
range.
Okay.
Because obviously Cech had come on for...
That, certainly if they did, then that was their only... I don't remember it, but of course...
I mean, I don't think there was any danger of it going in.
That was their only one then.
Yeah, I think for sure. I think
part of the issue with Arsenal as well is it almost seems like we've forgotten how much you have to raise your game against those teams. I mean, we've just not beaten a big side or a sort of a title contending side in the league in such a long time, and it's just like they don't have that extra level they need to go up to.
I found this fact quite interesting. Since August 2010, Szczesny and Koscielny are the two players who've conceded the most Premier League penalties in the Premier League.
Interesting.
Yeah, Premier League. Szczesny's conceded 6 and Koscielny's conceded 7.
Koscielny likes an own goal too. But at the same time, he's a really solid, good defender, so it's a strange...
Do you think he could have been sent off?
I think he could have been, yeah.
But if he only makes one decision like that a game...
That's
what
you need.
I've had 6 terrible games this season. That's enough to unbrand yourself as a great player, I think.
Yeah,
or stop your team winning anything at all.
No, but seriously, when he and Mertesacker are in the team together, much better.
It was really satisfying. Diego Costa obviously took his goal very well, and what a pass from Fabregas. It was almost quite satisfying to see him miss that sitter, put it over the bar, to think, oh my goodness, you know, the man is skin and bones like the rest of us. Do you know what I mean?
When his hamstring gets working again, he'll score those ones.
Yeah. I tell you what,
do you think his hamstring is actually not working?
I don't know.
Oh, I have no idea. But
maybe it's working too much. He's working too
it's
well.
It's a super hamstring. Yeah. And Mourinho wants to deflect the attention away from the fact that he's got a super grown illegal hamstring.
On the Champions League highlights, titanium. Matt Smith was speaking to, I think it was Gordon Strachan and Philippe Auclair, saying that maybe Mourinho keeps saying that Diego Costa's not fit so he doesn't get picked for Spain. Or so we can sort of, you know, try and influence that decision.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the case. That could well
I imagine there's some sort of nefarious reason for Mourinho doing what he's doing.
Yep. Because it's Mourinho doing a thing.
There's always a reason. How much did Costa love seeing that offside flag go up, though?
Yeah,
after he put it over the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
He had a look on his face that always said, it was a joke.
It's one of those ones. No man is more relieved than a striker when you see a striker put the ball wide or over the bar or whatever. From
the great thing about that is obviously 9 times out of 10 they have no idea what's on them.
Of course,
they just carry on.
He's going for goal, absolutely.
I thought that Cahill was very lucky to stay on the pitch and that could have changed the game potentially. But
it would have done. But the point that Jim's making is Arsenal again have not raised their game, and going into the match with Alexis Sanchez with a little bit of momentum behind them, because they've done okay, Arsenal, at the start of the season. Welbeck
unbeaten in the league up to
Welbeck and Ozil combining quite well beforehand, and obviously Cazorla's there. And again, it was just the same old story.
How much are Arsenal crying out for like a Matic?
God, so much so.
Because they've got so many of those good little players, they can afford to almost field two separate teams in those positions, attacking midfield positions.
Yeah.
The holding midfield, they just Flamini's just not up to it, is he? At that level,
not on his own. Like not maybe just the one guy in there.
Yeah, because Arteta's been reasonably poor as well this season.
Yeah, I mean he's aging, isn't he? I mean, I wouldn't.
But again, he's not that type of player.
Yeah, of course, but. We certainly do need that. And also, on the defender, Callum Chambers is suspended now. So that means
booked every game.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Hector Bellerin will be coming in again. He's incredibly young. It's a strange one.
I think in the holding midfielder sort of position, I think there's a reason why Tiotta is piping up about wanting to leave Newcastle. Because Arsenal have been looking out for him for a couple of good
months. Well, how real that is, though.
But he's been terrible. Well, he's been terrible, but, you know.
Unmotivated,
yeah. I
thought he was just piping up because he's at Newcastle.
Yeah, I just think that's what we do. That's what the people are doing it.
But what about Manchester United? They beat Everton 2-1. David De Gea with some excellent saves. Excellent saves.
It was a weekend of excellent saves, I think.
It was a weekend
of goalkeepers' performances. Mm.
Yeah, despite Courtois going off, of course.
Yeah.
but you're absolutely right. Di Maria scored. I thought Naismith's header was lovely. He's had a good start to the season.
Fantastic, yeah.
What a header that was.
The improvement in him is amazing. I mean, people were sort of not up in arms, but a little bit perplexed when he signed for Everton. He started playing the hole for last season, a good Premier League team.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Man United thing, people seem pleased they won the game, which you would imagine would be the case because a win's a win, but Everton have been horrible this season. And actually, De Gea papered over a lot of cracks in their performance, especially at the back again. And he's not going to be realistically, mate, save a penalty and make 3 or 3 world-class saves every single game. Mm. I mean, United could have feasibly lost that game.
Oh, Bain's missing a penalty.
Mm.
I didn't
like to
see that.
No,
I didn't.
I think that's just telling of their form all told, yeah. To be honest. I think
well,
I heard
penalty,
a like, Everton fan sort of call him for his head. I'm like,
what, Martinez?
Yeah, I was just like, come on now. Let's not be silly.
The war was always the case under Moyes, wasn't it? They'd have a good season and they'd struggle and like they would kind of yo-yo a bit without...
They finished 16 or 17th under Moyes one
times,
season.
Yeah, like...
The worry for them would be, I'm not sure if he's fit or not, but I mean, of course, I'm pretty sure McCarthy was missing, and he's an important player for them. I don't know if he started the season that well, but he was missing for them all travel. And I don't know if he's fit, but Lukaku seemed really
off the pace,
out of sorts, didn't he? Yeah.
He did a little bit.
I felt a bit sorry for Naismith, who was buzzing around all over the place and really deserved a bit more from Lukaku, because I thought, and I'm sure Martinez did say this, but I mean, Jim, you know this, you remember this well. Lukaku really targeted Arsenal when they played against somebody, and he's dominated them.
He was down the flank, wasn't he?
Yeah, you think he could have targeted McNair, who looks like a good young prospect.
Or even Luke Shaw.
Or Luke Shaw.
Well, I mean, he's got
so much physical bulk on both of those players, so that would have been a real asset.
And he scores goals. I mean, it's not like he doesn't score goals. It's not like he's some sort of like...
he's off and running.
Battering ram. He scores goals. So there's no reason why he couldn't. Maybe he's just feeling a bit out of sorts, or he's not fully fit or something.
Yeah, it was a strange one. It was nice to see Falcao score.
It was.
His first goal for Manchester United.
Well, he could fly now, couldn't he? You know, he's got the monk of his back. He could fly. You never know.
He's gone close with a couple of decent chances already. Yeah. He just needs that one. Mm.
Yeah, but the thing about Falcao... sometimes he seems to be... I mean, not realistically going to criticise him. He's one of the world's best strikers. But sometimes he seems to... just try and lever the ball as hard as he can. Every time he gets a chance, just lever it. And then a couple of times against Everton, he just completely sliced it because he was so anxious to strike the ball really cleanly.
Yeah.
And it might be because he at that point hadn't got off the mark yet. But and he's just too anxious to please. And when you go to Old Trafford, it's a big pumping stadium and all that sort of stuff. I think maybe he'll settle down a bit now and he might become really dangerous. But then that said, United going forward isn't a problem anyway. They're not going to struggle to score goals, are they? No. That's not their problem at the moment.
They shouldn't do anyway.
No, exactly.
Not really on it. Di Maria, another one who scored again.
I think credit should go, sorry to cut you off a minute, to both Di Maria and Falcao, because they have just started brilliantly.
Di Maria's been fantastic, hasn't he?
They've just fit right in.
Yeah, I mean, interesting to say what you say about Falcao. And of course, when he played for Atleti, he was explosive. And I mean, some of the... That was it the Super Cup final where he tore Chelsea apart?
Yeah.
He's one of those players where you are just looking at him going, wow, this
unplayable,
guy,
yeah.
Just incredible. And you know that type of striker, a bit like Aguero, the way he took his goal against Aston Villa... touch out the feet, poof, you know, no messing around. Yeah. And it's the type of player that opposition fans just look at and go,
what do you do?
We've just got no one like that.
Well, Aguero,
there are so many few players like that in the world.
Yeah, of course there are. And so many, so few of those players that will ever exist as well. Mm. And so Falcao was like that. I really hope that he gets to that. Well, I know. Support.
Well, he's had an injury, to be fair, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, this is what I mean. People who don't support Manchester United probably won't want to see him get back to that. But for the you know, in the name of football, we hope he does.
No, because as long as their defence stays rickety, we can have our cake and eat it.
Everyone
could have
4-3,
fun.
If they lose 4-3, perhaps. Yeah. But Falcao, he was injured for a long time. And he didn't even play. He didn't.
But on the Aguero thing, you'd not see many players in the world that can sort their feet out quicker than he can.
Yeah.
The way he sorts his feet, any type of pass that comes into him, and normally when he's got David Silva doing it, it's normally fine anyway. But when any sort of pass that he gets on his left or his right, if it's a bit behind him, he sorts his feet out so quick. Mm. And he pulls the trigger with almost minimal backlift before defenders seem to really know what's happening. And that's such a potent weapon.
Yeah. Come on then, Pete. Newcastle United time.
Battled back again, Pete.
He's a 2-2 with Swansea. Yeah. It's not an easy place to go. Papa Cisse to the rescue once again.
He's been all right, isn't he, at the moment?
With Sammy Amiobi feeding him.
I've said it before on this podcast. Sammy Amiobi has never had a disappointing game for Newcastle United. He's twice, possibly three, four times the player that's sure it is. I do rate that player more.
Do you think
than
he should start?
I think he should start. Well, I don't
he's
know.
Very skinny, isn't he?
His positions, we've probably got enough in those positions. But I think if he had to move somewhere and got a game every week, I think he'd be one of the Premier League's.
Does it go Sammy, Tomi, Shola or Sammy, Shola, Tomi?
Well, it's got to be Sammy Shola Tomi. Sounds like a Japanese man.
Sammy Shola Tomi. Tomi's playing in Finland at the moment, isn't he?
He's in MLS now, isn't he?
Oh, he's MLS.
MLS, okay, right. Yeah. But it just shows that the team are playing for the manager. They keep battling back to get points.
Are they playing for the manager, do you think, Pete?
They just look really... The first 10 minutes, I thought Newcastle were particularly awful, but then they just seem to... they just seem to have something about them to kind of get back in the game. But I just think Cisse had such a bad season last season. He just looks like a completely different player at the moment. He's going into positions. He's not been called offside half as much. He seems to be finding his space in like the 18-yard and the six-yard box. I mean, I'm really enjoying him watching him play, but they're just... It's one of those things where like I was almost willing them to lose. When Swansea went 2-1 up, I was like, you know what? If this puts another nail in the coffin, but then you just sort of think, well, he's not going to fire him because, you know, he doesn't want to pay out the money and it's all about finances and stuff like that.
It's that 8-year contract coming back to bite him in the arse again.
Well, they'll have exit strategy and stuff like that.
Who would they replace him with, though, Pete? Because it could just get worse anyway.
Well, yeah, exactly. He's not going to bring up in anybody interest anyway. He's talking about, I can't remember his name now, but lower league manager, but he's, you know, he brought a football league team into the championship and did all right. But it's just a
not big Steve Evans
performance.
It's not big Steve Evans, isn't it?
He's not going to pay top dollar for a top manager, is he?
What Newcastle need is
some sort of
continental interesting manager who actually knows how to put a team together and play a system. But he's just tactically he's just a bit of a jaw.
I like the fact that you could argue that because of the way it all went with Keegan when he got Keegan back in, it sort of burnt. Ashley feels like his fingers burn a little bit. So in a way, this is also Kevin Keegan's fault.
But you could say that about Joe Kinney. You could say that about Dennis Wise as well.
They led from Keggy, though, didn't they?
I could do that, Pete, but I've chosen to say it's Kevin Keegan's fault.
Well, feel free. Yeah. Knock yourself out.
Kevin, do you want to come back? Well, if it's the difference between 15s and 16s.
Yeah. You see how many chances Bonnie had that over the weekend in that match. He had so many chances.
Tim
and
Krul,
he could have
though.
Through.
Well, I like the way you said over the weekend, like the game went on for the whole weekend.
Felt like it did. Yeah. Felt like it did.
But, Tim Krul, he had a good game, though.
Well, again,
it's
a weekend of goalkeeper performances.
There you are.
And that papers over a few cracks as well.
Does it?
Rubbish.
Do you not think Pardew, he does look quite embarrassed and almost sort of humbled.
He always claps the fans still.
Slash humiliated. He does look like a man almost as if to say, I know, I probably should not
put me
be
out of my
here.
I think we won like four times in
haven't they got the worst record of the year? They've conceded the most goals. They've scored the least amount of goals. They've lost the most games.
Won four times in 2014 and it's October. Yeah. Like that is relegation form.
Is that including pre-season friendlies?
I think we did all right in pre-season.
But you it was very much the wrong time.
Pre-August was the mood buoyant,
jubilant. Well, he spent all that money. But if you're talking about like you know not wanting to spend money and stuff like that, you've spaffed out like the best part of 20 million, 25 million on new players, and then and Pardew just almost relegates your club. But it's been said before that Ashley would be happy with you know finishing. Just outside the relegation zone because he still gets paid top whack anyway. He increases stake in Rangers and just uses St. James's Park as a massive bloody billboard.
It's horrific.
The only thing that's going to change anything is if like Newcastle fans vote with their feet and not turn up. But that's never an option. It's never going to be an option.
No.
Or not buy the shirts. Not do this. Not do that. It's just so fucking bleak. It really is.
Yeah. All right.
Bleak.
Save it for the highlights of the week. Spurs beat Southampton 1-0. Nice goal from Eriksen. I'm enjoying, as I'm sure a lot of people are, Eriksen, Chadli and Lamella.
Mm. Yeah.
Who combined very well at the Emirates, of course, to score the Spurs goal last week. Looking quite dynamic. This is a chance, surely, for Spurs to finish in the top four. So maybe fourth place.
Considering like a lot of the other teams that were there or thereabouts last year,
they're not performing.
Are kind of faltering a little bit.
Well, there's only one.
I'd include
Man
Spurs
United
in that,
sneaked
though.
In there for crying out loud.
There's only one spot left, effectively, though. Isn't there? Arsenal can finish in the top three. So.
Yeah, well, you would imagine Chelsea and Manchester City in the top two, I think.
Then Arsenal.
But Liverpool are not performing at the moment.
No.
Manchester United, I think Manchester United will have a great chance of...
Certainly there for Spurs if they want it.
But that's what I mean, though. And that's why, when we spoke last week about the frustration of losing at home to West Brom, they get a good point at the Emirates. And then they beat a good Southampton side.
There was just Spurs all over them. This has been their problem for such a long time. And I guess it's down to how much Pochettino can iron that out.
I was listening to quite interesting... And it surprised me, possibly because I'm not... clearly as interested in Southampton as a club as a lot of other people. Mm. But I listened to the Five Live phone-in on, I think it was Friday's Gone or Saturday or something. What might have even been last night, who knows, but over the weekend. And a lot of Southampton fans were ringing in saying they weren't actually that bothered when Pochettino went. And I know that he got a slightly dodgy reception at the game.
Is that right?
And that surprised me. And what a lot of people were saying was, and I don't know if this is true because I haven't seen him enough at all, that he didn't really have a plan B and he didn't really see, he seemed very good at getting them to keep hold of the ball but he couldn't really change things during a game and he couldn't turn it to their favour when it wasn't going well for them and he didn't really have more than one way of playing.
Okay.
And so now they've obviously now they're saying this because they've got Koeman, who's done a really good job so far, and they're happy with their situation, and I understand that.
Well, they were at a 6-win run,
indeed. But you wonder with Spurs, a friend of mine is a Spurs fan, was saying what needs to happen is Pochettino needs to prove to the Spurs fans that he knows how to set up an attacking team.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the way he plays, we saw it against Arsenal, didn't we? I wouldn't go as far as to say I'd be embarrassed if I was a Spurs fan for my team to settle like that in a derby, but I wasn't too far away. And of course, it worked for them, but they played in a very sort of restrictive style and tried to hit Arsenal. And you could argue they're playing to their strengths doing that.
I think that's a good platform, though. If you can keep the ball and just contain a little bit, I think that's a good platform for
possibly.
Yeah.
Again, it's
maybe.
Taking the emotion out of it and looking on the result.
But look what happened at
home. But look what happened. Well, that's definitely true. But look what happened at home to West Brom. You know, okay, you can say it's a once-in-a-season result, but I guarantee that happens again at one point this season.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it was a good result against Southampton, but then on another day, I mean, Mane should have equalised for the Saints, and Koeman came away saying, you know what, I'm happy with the performance.
He should be happy with that. Yeah. It's one of those things. Southampton aren't a team who are going to win every single game. They're not going to finish in the top four. They're going to do well this season, but they're going to get results away from home against good teams that don't go their way. But they didn't play terribly or anything. I saw, they seemed okay.
Do you think Koeman's telling them to like throw a few so they don't lose all their players?
You have to keep doing this every year. It'd be a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah. Do it well, but don't do it too well.
If we were talking about if there was ever a player manager role, if you could bring someone on for free kicks or something like that, Koeman.
Yeah.
My goodness.
The man could probably strike the ball very well.
One of the greatest free kick takers of our time.
Yeah. I want to see him haul down David Platt at some point.
It's a shame Platt's he's not still there at City. No, he went with Mancini. Yeah. Mm. But that would have been nice, wouldn't it?
Mm. Pochettino said before the match he wouldn't celebrate, which, again, don't let him hear. It's took you on.
Exactly. You're at home.
You love him that much. Why'd you leave?
If you're the king, you can do anything.
Burnley
scored some goals. They drew 2-2 away to Leicester City, which actually, especially as they were 2-1 down deep into injury time, is not a bad result at all. Leicester have been going very well.
Managed
by Sandy Ballbag. Not a testicle.
Let's not go back to that. I've only just composed myself. Wallace with a nice free kick to snatch a point. Mahrez for Leicester, the Algerian international. He had a good game. Lively ultra.
Something that annoyed me slightly, well, not annoyed me because I don't care that much, but something that was a bit odd was that on Sky Sports Soccer Saturday, I forget who was doing the game, kept calling him Rod Wallace.
Yeah. I thought it was
a bit odd.
It confused me. I wasn't sure what time period I was in.
No, I fell asleep and I woke up and I was like, what year is it?
What year is this? Yeah.
Jerry Francis has got that haircut. But
it's so typical because Burnley, bar one or two sort of... slip-ups have been defensively pretty solid and then they go and score 2 goals, but they managed to concede 2 as well. Yeah. But the nature of the way they got the result...
the fifth minute of injury.
You might get a bit of confidence from that, because QPR looked dreadful. I think those teams down the bottom, and of course you're clutching at straws a little bit, but out of those teams down the bottom, I would say Newcastle are showing something. I mean, they come from behind twice now. It's showing a bit. Yeah. Burnley are showing a bit.
Well, Sunderland have got a good win.
They did.
First win, wasn't it?
And this is the point of the season where that will really change things, because all of a sudden the players see the fact they're in the mid-table now and they start to kick on a bit.
Bloody Fletcher. I've had him in my fantasy
side. I was going to say
and I took him out last week. I said, I've had enough of this. And 2 goals and an assist.
Wasn't even getting in the squad. And literally this week on fantasy football, he was the biggest point scoring player in the whole league.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I'm 1655th in the Ramble League or something. It's embarrassing.
Bastard. I think I did one.
Did you? I'll probably do better than you, and I hope I am.
I did one where I had to go for an auction. I feel terrible, but as soon as the season started, I just completely lose interest.
I just don't have enough time.
But I feel terribly guilty because people are like offering me players and stuff. I'm like, and they're still invested, and I just feel really guilty. I shouldn't have got involved and paid me money.
Well, you can't lose interest in the championship, though.
No.
2 points separate 8th and 1st.
Yeah. I love how
two points.
There's always some stat like this about the championship every week, but
the final weekend of the season, anyone can win it. Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, it'll stay a gap of 2 points.
We are still in October.
Yeah, well, exactly.
The season started in August. I mean, that's still quite impressive.
Yeah, but it's just funny that it so quickly happened again.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Norwich Forest and Watford all drew. Karanka's Middlesbrough. They're fifth, just 1 point off
Forest,
the top.
Forest got out of jail, didn't they? Scored an equaliser in the last minute.
They did.
Forest alone. Let's just pretend everything's going well. Our positive mental attitude.
Well.
And they're not losing matches, are they?
They haven't lost one yet.
Forest fans getting a little bit about the whole situation. Because Stuart Pearce is at the helm.
Yeah, and they've lost Andy Reid, and Chris Cohen is out for the season. He's their captain, a really big midfield player for them. that he's going to be fired by March, Stuart Pearce.
It's not going to be March. I think he'll get to the end of the season.
Westwood in goal for Sheffield Wednesday.
He had a brilliant game, didn't he?
It was such a shame for him that Leeds scored, obviously, because he was superb. Absolutely superb performance.
My highlight from the Championship was, I believe, Reading played Brentford. Now, Brentford may have won that game. I forget the score, but the score's not important. Because one of the goals that was scored is a header at the back post, and the guy who scored the header, it was possibly the biggest foul on a defender I've ever seen. I couldn't believe, when I was watching the Football League show, I thought they were showing that as like a foul
for
a second yellow card or something. Yeah. He basically, I don't know if you didn't see it, I'll just explain what happened. He was at the back post, behind the defender. Mm. He jumped up on the defender's shoulders with both hands, held himself there, headed the ball, scored, knocked his sheer weight on the defender, made the defender fall on the floor. He just got up and ran off celebrating. The referee was like, that's fine.
Cheers.
I said, that's fine,
isn't it?
It's
a contact sport.
Absolutely ridiculous.
My knees have buckled.
It was literally like that.
The thing is, it's not a contact sport. It's a semi-contact sport. And there is not even a subtle difference, a big difference, you know?
That was a disgrace, and I stand side by side with Reading fans everywhere with that goal.
The Royals. And before we leave England...
You just like a big ladder.
Go north of the border.
Ladders.
We've got to mention non-league Cheadle Town.
We do indeed.
Playing in the Greater Manchester area. They were beaten 22-0 in a friendly with Russia, the Russian under-19 side.
How on earth has that come about in the first place?
I haven't seen any headline reading Cheadle's a rout.
That's
not bad, is it, Pete?
It works, Marcus.
Nearly. Yeah. You're letting me have that one. If you don't get that joke, don't worry. But if you do, you know what I'm talking about.
I envy you.
The Russians, they were warming up for a European Championships mini tournament in Northern Ireland, which will happen soon.
They're supposed to play Cheadle Town twice. The second one was cancelled. We're not imagine the Russian under-19s manager. We're not getting much out of this.
Yeah. We're just going to hit the gym instead.
Yeah. I feel we've probably given enough of a poor performance for two matches in this one.
Can you just aggregate the score if you want?
What I loved about Cheadle Town, their secretary, Stuart Crawford, said, "We played our first team goalkeeper, Steve Piggott, but he didn't make any gaffes and, in fact, saved further embarrassment with a few saves."
That's what he's there for.
I think he's just giving Steve Piggott a little shout out.
There will be somewhere
Piggott's going, don't mention me for crying.
There will be somewhere a Cheadle Town fan listening who will say we should mention the fact that I think the way the
we
game
had him
was
going for the first 5 minutes.
they'll draw the positives from it. The way the game was organised, I believe the first team, their reserve team, and their under 21s all had a game at the same time, and so that's put a bit of a scratch team together.
Yeah.
On the other hand, 22-0.
Ruthless. 9-0 after half time. Yeah. Seldom in those big scoring games do you see more goals in the second half, unless it's involving Police Machine or something like that.
I would put myself up front.
I would.
Yeah.
Cheadle Town. Now they've got a bit of an international pedigree, call it what you will, experience certainly. They were beaten by Dynamo Bucharest earlier in the season, and they've played at the Maracanã and the Azteca in Mexico City.
Yeah, what's happening
strange
here?
One. I don't know, Pete. I don't know. And that man, Stuart Crawford, said next year we will rack up 100 matches abroad when we tour Madagascar and Mauritius.
Wow.
Sounds like the scene to be playing for.
Indeed. Yeah. If you're at that level, definitely.
Yeah.
Get some levers.
If you play for Cheadle Town, do let us know. Get in touch.
Oh, can we all have trials
for
you?
Can we come?
Yeah.
Next time you play in a team and you need to put a scratch team together.
Yeah.
Cheadle Ramble.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Eh? So there we are. The Russian under-19s are playing. The tournament hosts Northern Ireland at Dungannon on Saturday, so get yourselves down there.
One of the officials from the...
I wonder if that's at Dungannon Swift's ground.
Could be.
And maybe a game at Chimney Corner as well.
One of the officials from Cheadle Town, I don't know what his job was, it wasn't the manager, he was on Five Live saying that at one point he said, and the Russian under-19s, they were technically very good. They scored 22 goals, mate. Yeah.
One or two of those players might play for Zenit. Yeah.
That's the only technicality we need.
Oh, is that right? They genuinely do, yeah.
Gordon Bennett.
That's the sort of approval they need, isn't it, Pete? Yeah.
Talking of big results, eh? Scottish Premiership, Celtic 0, Hamilton Academical 1.
Oh, yeah. My God.
The first win for the Accies.
They're top of the league with that win. They went top of the league with that win, didn't they?
Top of the league.
Oh.
Their first win at Celtic Park since 1938. Celtic down in sixth.
Have they ever won the league, Hamilton?
Oh, I don't know.
I'd like to know that. It'd be brilliant if they did. Celtic are sixth.
It's October. It's October and Celtic are sixth.
Six
seriously.
In a one-horse race.
Rangers aren't in the league and they're sixth. I mean, All joking aside, right? This is incredible.
Got a lot to answer for.
It's not Lennon's fault. It's the fact. Yeah. It's the fact that Lennon left.
No, it's the improving they the had quality no, of the league. You call it Premiership? My goodness,
it's not that either. Lennon left. He obviously needed a new challenge.
Hearts left.
All that sort of stuff.
Left. Rangers.
Basically, everyone's fucked off. No, I think from what I know about it, Lennon left. They obviously wanted a new challenge, and then the investment wasn't there. Mm. They've not had investment in the squad. They've hired some. As far as I'm concerned, and I don't want to be a little Britonner about this, they've hired some two-bit manager on the cheap who blundered his way through the European competition. I mean, you know.
Getting knocked out twice.
That was a laughing stock. Yeah. And now they're just all over the place. I don't know, the sad thing for Celtic is, and I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who know more about this than me, it's almost like a Newcastle situation. You're not really sure how it's going to get any better.
Well, they just cashed in, didn't they? Like, they cashed in on a lot of players at the end of last season. It's just and they've not really brought anyone in.
No.
And they almost are trying to play a lot more of a like expansive, better football, but they just don't have the personnel to do it. That's the problem.
Go back to
do you
basic.
Think they're guilty of just assuming they'll walk the league and really pushing that?
I mean, they'll still win, but...
You reckon they will?
They'll still win the league.
Mm? Marcus, what do you think?
Well, the league table doesn't lie, Jim. It doesn't lie now. It may lie in May if Celtic pull it back. But
Killy as well. Killy have chucked their hat into the ring.
They have, yeah. They beat Dundee United, of course, who were the early pace setters. Mm. My goodness, it's all going off. In the Scottish Championship, Hearts are running away with it, so no bother there. Now, the Scottish Cup second round, yet more proof of wonderful team names in Scotland. We talked about this. I mean, obviously, Hamilton Academical is a good name itself.
Yeah. Marcus, before you read this, can you do this like it's final score?
Yeah, I think you should. The Scottish accent.
Yeah.
Scottish accent, sorry, I should say.
Brora Rangers 5, Banks OD 0.
Electric City, Brora.
Is that right?
It was the first northern Scottish town to have electricity. Because it was like a big textile.
Good fact. Sure.
You got one of these for every team?
No.
It's still that early, yeah?
No, I've already got Brora because...
just do made up ones.
Yeah.
My dad, I think, knows a bit Lair or something. I don't really know. But
are you still hoping that will reach Hartlepool at some point?
That's rude.
Needless.
From the London Mafia.
Brora Rangers. Cockney Mafia out. Brora Rangers sounds like the only team that a dog could support because it's the only one it can pronounce.
Ah! Come on.
Brora Rangers.
I'll
tell you what, you've been so impressive on Brora Rangers. I can't wait to hear what you've got for all the other teams.
Hey! Edinburgh City 2, Auchinlecht Talbot 1.
Big mining area.
Yep.
Auchinlecht.
Or capital of Scotland. Yeah. You
Auchinlecht Talbot is the city in Scotland with the most men named Warren.
No, it isn't.
In the whole of Britain.
Is that right?
Ah. My goodness. Is that anything to do with Warren Street in central London?
Must be. Yeah, yeah. If you like.
Come on. While we're talking utter nonsense, Elgin 0, Forest Mechanics 0. Inverurie Local Works 0, Hereford 3.
Inverurie Local Works.
I've just had a tooth operation. Inverurie Local.
Glenlith. A dog could support that side as well, with Marcus's pronunciation.
There's two dog teams there.
Glenlithgow Rose 5, Dalbeattie Star 1. Do you think they do the Beattie when they score?
The Beattie, they should
do. They must do. And this one, I mean, this week's result, Spartans FC 3, East Kilbride 3.
That's all right, that's pretty straight, I think.
Yeah.
Very enjoyable.
Go tell the Spartans. Mm. Look at that, ladies and gentlemen. And there's more. That was just a selection. Mm. What was your favourite? I quite like Banks OD. It's quite good.
I love the fact that someone else has piped up on the highlights of the week, possibly, so I might be stealing their thunder. Did I print it out? No, I don't think I did.
Ooh.
There's a guy on the Facebook who said the best Scottish name is the fact there's a team in Scotland just called Keith.
Yeah. That's right. And they've got beaten once by Rangers in the Cup 8-1. And they scored. They got their one right at the end. So it was the ninth goal of the game. And they went postal. They really did.
Take a leaf, Cheadletown. Put the effort in.
Yeah. If Sammy scores, we're on the pitch kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
When Sammy Amory scored against Darling, I think it was.
Right.
And everyone ran on the pitch.
Yeah.
Naughty.
But nice. La Liga. All we've got to say here. Ronaldo.
Can you read out what you've got in your running order? Because it basically just sums up La Liga.
Yeah. Ronaldo scored a hat-trick and Barcelona kept a clean sheet. Yeah.
That's all you
that'll
need.
Do.
We're pretty much done.
Check out this for a bit of trivia.
Go on.
Ronaldo's personal scoring record this season at 2.17 goals per game is better than 91 European top flight clubs.
13 in 6.
Yeah.
13 goals.
He's on fire.
And it's October.
I know.
Yeah.
October seems to be quite a magic month.
Do you reckon Real Madrid could win the Scottish Premiership?
Oh, no. Well, hang on.
Ask Ronnie Darley, the Celtic manager. No. Tottenham.
You mean alongside La Liga?
Yeah, I reckon Ronaldo could win. Yeah, they'd have to fly. Yeah, this is it. So Real Madrid have to play in La Liga and do the same they would normally do.
Yeah.
But as well as that, they have to fly and play the amount of extra games they need to play in the Scottish Premiership, and they have to play them as league games, and they'll sort the fixtures out so they play maybe Real Madrid and play in La Liga, say Saturday lunchtime.
Right.
And Sunday afternoon they have to play in the Scottish Premiership. Do you think they still win the league?
Do they get any help from Real Madrid Castillo, or is it just the first?
Nope. Well,
to be
perfectly honest, the way it's going, I think they'd struggle to get in the top three in the Scottish Premiership. Go down to Hamilton and say all that, eh?
Oh, it's a genuine question.
Get yourself down there.
It's a think tank. It's a ramble think tank.
Serie A.
The
big one. Juventus and Roma didn't disappoint, unless you're a Roma fan, of course. Or a fan of good refereeing.
Totti took it well, didn't he?
Oh, dear. Juventus beat Roma 3-2. There was three penalties involved. Tevez got two of them, and Totti got one. The first, all three were pretty controversial, actually. The first one, Michael was judged to have handled the ball from a free kick, and he kind of jumped forward and handled it.
Yeah, but he was outside the area, wasn't he? He looked outside the area.
The ref originally gave another free kick, but after...
I think it was handball. It wasn't out, was it?
It was kind of up on his chest, was it, maybe?
He was getting a ball kicked at him really hard. Yeah. It's kind of hard.
Well, the ref originally gave a free kick, I think, but it looked like, I may be wrong in saying this, but it looked like after protest from Juventus he gave a penalty. And Rudy,
whatever you say about the referee, it won't be half as bad as anything that gets said in the Italian press.
Yeah. Well, Rudy Garcia's on Twitter and he's been giving it
the violin thing.
He did. Well,
as a grade one violinist myself, I hated that violin bow work because there's no cantilever there. You could maybe play the E string, but where's the control? You're just going to be sliding all over the place.
I didn't know you were a real problem. What did you say? Grade one?
Grade one.
That's low, isn't it?
But you can pick up a violin and have a go.
And that's what you need to get a grade one.
Two functioning hands.
Can you actually hold this?
Well, such an elegant way to get sent to the stand.
Poetic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gilardino used to, he probably still does the old violin celebration. Mm. I mean, that was quite different. But I think the reason why that seems quite naughty, I think the violin is... a gesture. I think it's sort of a Latin.
It's to show that it's corrupt, isn't it?
I think it's to show, you're a bit friendly with Juventus, aren't you? I think that's
we've
what
seen this before.
You both like violin music, don't you? You don't really go and watch concertos.
I know. Gianluca Rocci was the referee, heavily criticised.
I think it's pronounced Rocky because someone said on the internet today that it was a Rocky horror show.
So I believe that's what it is. Well, yeah, Roma got a penalty, which is a little controversial.
Why is Tevez taking Juve penalties and not Pirlo or Vidal? I know Vidal was dropped for having a fight in a nightclub on Thursday.
That'll happen. Vidal wasn't on the pitch. I don't know,
actually.
He came
on the pitch, didn't he?
He came on, yeah.
He did, yeah, he did come on.
Because he blocked the keeper's sight for the volley, I think it was.
For the winner.
Yeah,
but does Pirlo, does he take that many penalties,
apparently,
actually?
It's Vidal normally. But Vidal wasn't on the pitch, as you rightly say. Essentially won the penalty, but Tevez took it.
Well, he's having a rich vein of form.
Players don't like to take penalties when they've won them, though, do they? Maybe there's something to...
I don't think he takes them at all for Juve, though. It's weird.
Well, Tevez is a very able deputy.
Well, he put both of them away.
Of course.
And
it was a bloody weird rugby tackle for the actual penalty itself.
That was the Roma one, wasn't it?
Oh, right.
So yeah, he wrestled to the ground. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A strange old one, wasn't it? But now what about the goal that put Roma 2-1 up? Jovinho, that man again. Mm. Now, was that a slip and a brush?
It's definitely a slip.
Obviously it's a slip. It could be a slip and a slot, but I thought immediately I was slipping a slot.
It didn't jump out as a brush to me.
Okay, well, we'll go with a slot then.
It was a great bit of movement and a lovely pass from a decorated footballer such as Jovinho.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Two lovely red cards at the end.
It was, yeah. Well, we've got to mention Bonucci's goal. I mean, I know Pete mentioned it there.
Great goal.
That ball was hit like a messiah in a lay-by.
Yeah. He was lucky to be on the pitch, Bonucci, because he complained for the longest I've ever seen a player consecutively complain about a decision. I think it might have been for the Roma penalty, which was a nailed-on penalty.
Mm. Was
and
it?
Bonucci...
All three were controversial.
No, I'll tell you something. The reason that one was controversial is because people were saying there was a foul in the build-up and it shouldn't have been given. In fact, it wasn't Bonucci complaining about the penalty. He was complaining about a decision down in the corner with the linesman and another Roma player. And the referee for his descent, booked him fairly early on.
Yeah.
And he carried on for about 40 seconds after that. Yeah. He was lucky to be on the pitch. I think if that was in the Premier League, he would have been sent off.
Did you see Keita, like, properly burst into tears?
He was gutted, wasn't he?
He was. I don't know what had happened. Like, he just couldn't believe it.
No, no.
Could have seen Yango and B were playing some decent football.
Yeah, that's it.
Good level.
If you love someone, set them free, yeah? A caged bird rarely sings a sweet pea.
He's my new coach. He's my new coach.
So, Lichtsteiner's foul as well. It was just an off-the-ball rugby tackle at a corner. What was he thinking?
It was, it was crazy. It was a crazy game. It was a crazy game.
It was brilliant, though. But it was a shame that Roma didn't get something because Juve obviously having so many titles, you just think, it would be nice to see Roma win the league.
It is early.
Did you see the scrap at the end where Buffon just legged it from his goal mouth? That's the fastest I've seen him move in 10 years. absolutely legged it. I would really like to do that thing where you can test out by looking at the markings on the pitch how fast someone's moved. Because he absolutely...
Imagine if they did it for that, that'd be great.
When Ronaldo ran the 100 metres in 2 seconds or something.
I'm pretty sure that's Juventus have taken the Serie A record for consecutive home wins from Le Gran Torino, the famous 1945.
Well, that's a hell of an achievement.
I don't know how many it is, 20-something, but they've taken
bloody
the record.
Hell, that's really good. That
seems.
It was funny, wasn't it, because Totti was saying about, you know, I think the penalty areas have been made bigger in Turin. You know, because
so 90, I didn't realise the penalty areas were 19 yards at Juventus.
Yeah, and he was giving it all that. And then I forget who in the backroom staff from Juventus started saying, oh, what's he going on about? Blah, 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 blah. And then straight away, and Juventus, we had 2 titles taken off us. And then, oh, shut up, titles. Yeah.
Because you were bribing people.
To go on and on and on about that. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Didn't Juventus, like, doggedly insist that they celebrate the title as, like, their 30th title instead of their
28th?
Because they insisted on canceling it. It wasn't those numbers, but something
didn't
like that.
Did they put it on their shirt or something?
Yeah, something like that,
Having it. Not having it. quickly, before we go to South America, we're going to briefly stop in Romania. Yeah.
I think you know why.
Yeah. Mm. Gigi Becali is trying to twist a court's arm and let him out of prison earlier.
How does he even have the opportunity to do this? He's in jail.
Yeah. I don't know. He wants to be let out 6 months earlier. His rationale behind this, Jim, according to himself, no one would mind. I'm no danger. If you let me out of jail, I'll make love, not crime.
But not to a Jew, a Hungarian, or a gay man.
Not a man. They should say that. If you make love to a man, we'll let you out 6 months earlier. Now you're talking.
Not a gay Jewish Hungarian.
Yes, nobody I value.
He hits all of those things equally.
Nobody I value or acknowledge as a fellow human being would mind.
The people who are bore the brunt of my fraudulent behaviour, they won't mind. I promise you. I'll be as good as gold. You'll never hear of me again, but I'll be as good as gold. But right then, more argy-bargy. We're going to go to South America, literally Argentina, where River and Boca drew 1-1, and there was lots of water on the pitch. It reminded me of the scenes, of course, reminiscent to the famous night at the Monumental, where San Martin Palermo and Argentina narrowly overcame Peru in that World Cup 2010 qualification match. Yes, it's always worth bringing that up.
It reminded me of Portsmouth playing Leicester in 2002, 2003.
It reminded me of a bath I took. Yeah. What does it take for a match to be like called off?
Well, that was ridiculous.
In the Premier League,
madness.
I mean, if it's like that in the top tier, what's it like?
Yeah, exactly.
In the third division,
It's hilarious, isn't it? Though, like in the Premier League, it does take something apocalyptic for it to be rained off or something.
That was also a fairly, shall I say, poor refereeing the performance as well.
And didn't the Boca players let him know that?
What's his name? Gago conceded the penalty. Which pretty much, I think I'm right in saying, hit every part of his body apart from his hand or arm.
Yeah, that's right.
It hit his foot and then bounced up, hit him in the head.
Yeah.
And nowhere near his hand.
It did look a bit weird, though, the way he kind of it cannoned off his head and foot.
But by that very, by the very nature of that, the referee can't be sure.
Absolutely.
It was an ugly penalty, struck ugly, which I'm glad he missed it.
Put Boca 1-0
up. That's right, Magajan.
Yeah, and then
they call him Magajan there.
Well, Magajan, it depends on which Spanish you speak. In Argentinian Spanish, with the double A will be a zh sound. But Fernando Gago, just incredibly sent off. And the Boca players just went crazy at the ref. I mean, they were around him for ages.
Yeah.
And then Mora skied the penalty. Yeah. I suppose,
an appalling penalty.
But he'd have to hit it off the floor.
Yeah, you'd have to.
The ball wouldn't make it.
Yeah,
but it was that waterlogged the pitch.
I don't think he had to hit it over the bar.
I don't think he needed to.
They might genuinely have been better off doing one of those really poncy penalties that Arsenal the pass up one that time. Yeah, we just pass it around.
Yeah.
I think we pass it around. I think it was just one. I know what
you know what I mean.
Was
it
Cruyff who did that first, wasn't it?
Actually, yeah, that's successful for Ajax. Yeah.
Yeah. Perez got confused.
That's why I didn't use the Cruyff example, because he actually managed to do it.
Later on, Boca keeper Orion fumbled the ball and Pezeia pounced to make it.
Can you pronounce that again?
Pezeia.
I don't know either.
I went normal Spanish, but then I went Pezeia. Yeah.
You can forgive the goalkeeper for that, though, in those conditions.
Yeah, we're still poor.
Yeah, he's not getting any grip on his gloves, is he?
He's gone. Oh,
push it away, then.
Basically,
he couldn't push it away. There was no grip on his gloves. It was ridiculous. He did it all he could for my money.
As a voluntary fireman,
yes. It was like a hose.
Fair enough.
I like the fact that Murray, not content with missing a penalty in a massive derby, then almost got himself sent off on purpose.
A scissory lunge.
How he took a touch that heavy when the ball sticks in the ground to that extent.
It almost looked like he was
up, leaping in.
Yeah.
But it was like he wanted to see how far he could slide in those conditions, because you don't often get the chance.
Not very far, because there was a player in the way.
When Gago got sent off, though, he was just apoplectic. Oh, yeah. It was just brilliant seeing someone lose it like
when
that.
When the Boca manager, Rodolfo, when he was just on the touchline, in the soggiest training court I've ever seen in my life. Don't even bother. Just take your top off.
Yeah.
It's going to be warm.
I've seen Steve McCarron with that umbrella. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
He looked forlorn, even though when he was celebrating, it was just like, you still look silly. You just look silly.
Yeah, explosive stuff from Italy and Argentina.
That's and it was good that it was on YouTube as well, which is it's just a really easy way to access it. They're not going to make much money from like Sky and people like that, so they just stuck it on YouTube and streamed it. It was brilliant.
It's a good idea, isn't it?
More of that.
More of that, please. Thanks very much. Quickly to Brazil. Romario's moved up in the world. Don't forget about my Romario. Mm. If you remember, he was elected as a congressman, a bit like an MP, for the Socialist Party in 2010, and he's just been elected to Senate, winning 63% of all the votes for the Rio de Janeiro seat. The bloke who finished second, 20% of the votes. That's a landslide.
He's nowhere. He's nowhere. when you've got 63% of the ball behind you.
And because of that, he gets a few more goals put on his tally as well. So, we can only look forward to what Romario in his Senate seat.
When he inevitably becomes Premier of Brazil, yeah. Just in time for the 2016 Olympics.
Now you're talking.
That'd be amazing.
Ladies and gentlemen. International football next week on our live ramble.
Yes, we're doing the live ramble next Sunday, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Yeah,
so,
we are.
Shit.
It will be released at some point. It just depends when Pete can speak to the people and get the audio file, I suppose.
Shit. Double shit.
But now it's time for Pete's mystery voiceover challenge.
Wow, it keeps on changing. I don't know what a voiceover. Why do you say voiceover? Is it just voice?
Yeah, I suppose
so. It's not a footballer, mystery footballer doing an advert, is it?
No. Oh, yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
Did people get it this week?
A lot of people got it this week, actually.
What an amazing surprise.
It wasn't an amazing surprise, because the Japanese guy, nobody guessed that.
Go on, who was it? Because I didn't know who it was. Go on, do your stuff.
All right, I'll play the voice.
I'm a good player. I'm not afraid to tell it. I'm a good player. I can prove that. I'm going to prove that.
Any guesses in the room, gentlemen?
I think it might well be.
And bearing in mind that Luke has access to the email account.
I am shocked and stunned that you would accuse me of such a thing. But
what am I doing? Yeah. I'm holding the bracelet correctly.
There's the violin.
I think it might be Ali Dyer.
It is Ali Dyer.
Yeah! Oh, I did check the email earlier.
Yeah, of course I did. Well, congratulations to Vince Henry, Ninian McQueen, Tom Patrick, Vadim Firmanov. Great name.
Vadim Firmanov.
Incredible. Yeah. Ben Knight, Donald Lynch, Jim Greenstead, Ben Holman, Tom Schaller, Daniel Wade, Chris Benson, Peter Doughton, Fergus Friel, Mark Chilton, Sean Tucker, Turin Hall, Alistair Drury, James Tortoise, Barry Chandler and Richard Leyland. It's only because it comes from an interview with the man some years after the account and after the event. Probably one of the few interviews with the man himself. So there we go.
It's good. I didn't know that. I had no idea. It's very funny to have him on the show, though.
A lot of people going for George Weir told me the answer, etc, etc.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah.
And if you... Ali Dyer, he's a liar, he's a liar. Yeah.
Excellent. Who we got this week then?
We've got this.
I think overall I thought we did enough. I think that I thought we dominated the first half and were very good and got an early goal and I thought we controlled the game the first half.
Oh!
Potentially tougher.
Yeah.
potentially.
Isn't it always?
Yeah.
I think overall, I thought we did enough. I think that I thought we dominated the first half and were very good. And got an early goal, and I thought we controlled the game the first half.
Isn't it always?
There's
well,
no, listen, there's no hard or easy ones. There's the ones you know and the ones you don't.
And we'll do the answer in 2 weeks' time.
So how can you tackle?
We won't do the answers on the live show, but we'll do them in 2 weeks'
how
time.
How can so you
we've got
tackle
a special
the,
Shut up! We've got a special, we've got a special short quiz for the live show.
How can you tackle?
Shut
how can
up!
You rugby tackle the mystery voice challenge MVC?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, how can you get involved?
Say again.
Tell them the email address and all that.
Oh, right, okay. Sure. Voice at thefootballramble.com. I think you're just speaking in tongues.
Yeah, I did as well.
Word you'd found.
Name of the player in the subject title.
Name of the player in the subject title.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if you know it all, just do it yourself.
It's your bit. It's your time to shine.
Right, I'm not afraid to say I'm a good player.
I can prove that.
It's your highlights of the week with
I like him.
I like him.
Highlights of the week, yeah, with me, but really with you guys who are listening because
with
you
us.
Contribute to this.
With
let
us.
You in. Come into our womb.
Okay. Do our job
world,
for us.
Not womb. Welcome to my womb. Won't you come inside?
Have you quite finished?
Yes.
Was that your mystery voice? Frank Sinatra.
I'm fairly certain there's a gas leak in this studio.
Highlights of the week. So, yeah, people just email, tweet, Facebook in saying what they've enjoyed about the week in football or not. And then we read out the best ones. Mm. Yusuf Muller comes straight in and says, I saw a contested drop ball in the Liverpool-West Brom game. You don't see enough of those these days. Very true. I should probably mention, because loads of Liverpool fans are going to pull me up on it, that Lallana did play very well for Liverpool.
Well, that was going to be my highlight West Brom.
Oh, was it? Okay,
yeah,
right.
I was ready.
Yeah, so, yeah, fair enough. You know, he did what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Good man. No, I'm seriously.
You're digging another hole for yourself.
No, he's not. He's fine.
He played well. He's showing signs of growing into the shirt, and good for him.
Oh, that's Luke Moore you're talking about.
I was on the radio over the weekend, and I could not... upset a couple of Liverpool fans because somebody texted in saying, we're off the Liverpool match, YNWA. And I don't really frequent Liverpool forums that often, so I've never seen the acronym kind of, it's not
you'll
an acronym,
walk alone,
you
yeah,
never
yeah.
walk alone. And I got a lot of grief for that.
It's notoriously difficult to upset Liverpool fans.
Yeah.
But there we are.
Andrew's been in touch. It may or may not be a Liverpool fan.
Yeah.
Said, for me, the highlight this week was Danny Mills explaining handball as... For me, if the arm's attached to the body, it's a natural position.
Love that. Love that.
Danny Mills, employing people who can't speak on the radio. Why not? Ian Wright. I think it's the Ian Wright. He says, my highlight of the week is Brian McDermott. Oh, actually, it could be the Ian
could
Wright, given the
Ian
subject.
Wright.
My highlight of the week is Brian McDermott getting a new job in Arsenal's scouting department. Poor lad deserves a bit of luck.
Right. There you go.
Mm. Do you think he'll be an asset, Jim?
I think so. Well, he played for Arsenal, didn't he, for some time. So he knows the club. And yeah.
Matt Elms says, trying to stay awake for the Man United-Everton game, I fell asleep dreaming that United had won at home. And then I woke up to find it was not a dream, it actually happened. Hashtag theatre of dreams.
I like that.
James Burke says, Portsmouth have paid off all their debt. Well done, Pompey. I agree, James.
That's incredible. Yeah. Basically, did you get let off one of those Wonga loans?
Oh, yeah, we're paying it down.
You've got all your debts into one big loan, is that what it is?
You just file a lot of receipts at the sea.
Yes.
Invoices. We lost the invoice. Didn't
put another receipts in the shoebox, which we did throw off a ferry. Joe Stanford, I wonder why Alex McLeish was doing an interview with a toupee on Match of the Day, only to realise it was Ronald Koeman. This is quite a confused one, but bear with me on this one. David Cowlishaw says, I liked hearing John Hartson describe Mourinho and Wenger on Five Live as behaving like absolute teenage 12-year-old girls. which is confusing.
Also, in that same
that
interview,
is so good.
In that same interview, he said, I've got two words for Wenger and Mourinho, grow up. He's absolutely nailing that.
Big talk with John Hartson. Mm.
Pete Selby with another hashtag press room spy.
Now we're talking.
Can't get enough of these.
But sat by himself, Chris Kamara didn't eat any of the rice with his chili con carne at the King Power Stadium.
Really?
Weird.
Why would he order it?
Hopefully one of it's probably free, isn't it? Free food.
You don't have to get a plate, though. They don't put it in front of you, maybe.
Serve it up, yeah. Hopefully one of those next week.
They're not all buffets.
Very odd thing to eat around.
What was that mental picture that you sent around on the email?
He tweeted it,
thread of Kamara outside Leeds station.
Yeah, apparently, I think what happened was, I'm reading between the lines here. I don't follow him on Twitter, but someone sent it to me. Chris Kamara was getting the train from, I think he was obviously doing the Leicester games. He's getting the train back up to where he lives in Leeds, I think.
Right.
And the train was going to Bradford, or the other way around. He missed his stop. And then he was saying, oh, and then what he was doing was doing what he did famously in that Soccer Saturday. I must have, did we go past Leeds? I must have missed that one, Jeff.
Okay, right, yeah.
And then it turned out that his wife was actually waiting for the station. She was properly pissed off. And so he was like, oh, yeah, I've got to go. My wife's annoyed me.
Letting everyone down. Letting everyone down in his life.
Indeed. I will finish off the highlights of the week by saying, reading this email from John Hargreaves. Now, I didn't know this. Now, if you three did, forgive me, but I think this is a really good bit of trivia. He said, after watching Felipe Melo play a couple of times this week, I decided to check his wiki bio for the other things to dislike him about him, but I ended up finding out that two of his sons are called Gary and Lineker.
That's not that unusual in Brazil, is it?
Yeah, apparently, isn't Lineker...
It's quite a well-known
Lineker,
name.
He's quite heralded in certain parts of the world.
Yeah, I imagine he probably is, but he said this raises the question of whether he's the only person in football to name multiple children after the same footballer.
Yeah.
So Gary and Lineker is quite weird, isn't it?
Well, yeah, sorry, Gary could be Gary Mabbitt.
Because did he start with... could be Gary Barlow. Could he have started Hedges bets a little bit and named the first one Gary? Then it could have gone either, you know, if there was could have gone Neville.
Correct.
Yeah. Will Mott.
Yeah. Will Mott. That's from John Hargreaves anyway. So if anyone else has got any more information on that particular subject, then do get in touch.
Nice one. Mm. Any highlights, anybody, we don't know?
I mean, we would like to remind everyone that Wikipedia is easily editable by people.
I don't think...
No, but...
Of all the podcasts in the world, I don't think we need to remind our listeners of that if you've seen the state of that.
Oh, a lot of people had some... I've completely forgotten to do the Big Shop update. A lot of people got involved on Facebook about the Big Shop, their top tips.
Okay.
I haven't read them out because I forgot to, but I will do it next week.
For the live show.
The live show.
Oh, yes, the live show. Yeah, we're doing a live show just about the Big Shop.
We're going to take everybody on a Big Shop.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Maybe the following week. We will resurrect the Big Shop chat at some point. All your comments and tips will not be in vain. I promise you that.
Let's hit a Leicester Square nightclub afterwards.
Thank goodness you're
brilliant.
A place. I thought that was going to be something. Anyway.
Horrific.
Yeah, exactly.
What are we going to... What? Let's hit a woman. What do you want me to say?
Whoa.
Let's hit what?
Or another man.
All right, Dapper Laughs.
Yeah.
And the Dapper Laughs of... It's Diggory again. Diggory Laughs.
There he goes. Quick, we've run over time.
I'd like
there.
A Diggory update. We haven't had Diggory back for a while.
Well, there you go.
I don't know
why it
captured
out there.
Everyone's attention.
I think what you should do with the live show is you should get one of those oriental masks and put it on the back of your head and do half the show as Pete and then turn around and do half the show as Diggory.
Mm. Yeah, or I've got a... We both look exactly the same, and you've got to find out who is Diggory and who is Peter.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
As the man who's effectively got to host it, I don't think we should do that.
Okay.
Fine, we're just going to shit on the floor. Yeah. And you've got to deal with that, man.
Reverse psychology there, ladies and gentlemen.
£13.50 it is. If you... for a ticket.
If you want to get in touch, you want to do a show at thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble.
That is expensive.
And the website is thefootballramble.com. The Totti stuff's on the website, I believe.
Yeah.
Kelly's done that. And it's loads more.
If you want to guess the old mystery guest, it's voice at thefootballramble.com, isn't it?
Yes, voice at thefootballramble.com.
Marvellous.
Good. No Absolute Radio football. No football in the Barclays Premier League, unfortunately. But Stoney will be here in lieu of Righty.
That's right. Mm. That's Ian Wright. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Oh, goodbye. Sorry.
Wow.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Farewell.
Keep your ball bag sandless.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
and Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman, I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.